Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, last evening we started a series that I had shared at a men's conference for Church of the Apostles. And I'm delighted that we can share these messages with you without your having been on the retreat. But pray that God's going to use these messages not only in your life, but in the lives of others. We're going to pick up right now where we left off last evening. And then we'll continue night after night until you get to hear about what God says concerning the victory that is ours in Christ.
It's true. God does promise vengeance on those who do not repent. But God keeps saving people that we don't want him to. Have you noticed that? Some of the people that God saves, I've said over and over and over again, I would have flipped if I'd been Ananias, who got word to go to the house where Saul of Tarsus needed my prayers for his healing because God had just saved him. I would have said, well, Ananias said, Lord, he's done a lot of bad stuff. God said, really? How did I miss that? Well, that's not exactly what God said. That's a paraphrase. No. God didn't just know what Saul had done. God knew what was going to happen in Saul's life in the future. He was going to suffer greatly, and he did suffer greatly, but he was also going to write more of the New Testament than anybody else. He was going to spread the gospel in all kinds of situations. He was God's choice. Please don't raise your hand. How many would have picked him? Okay. I mean, not a chance. But God did. But God changed him. God transformed him. If you don't know Jesus, no matter what you've done or are currently up to, you need to know that God offers you eternal life. The idea that some people are beyond saving, that's bad theology. God delights in saving people we wouldn't approve of saving. Sometimes even politicians. Sometimes. But God doesn't just forgive them. And he doesn't just forgive us either. When he saves us, he transforms us. I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. I will be glorified one day. I will be, as we said earlier, like Jesus. He promised. He keeps his promises. Meanwhile, I'm a work in progress. I still have things that need to improve. You indicated with honesty that you have things that need to improve. I'm glad you know that you're not alone in that struggle. Not only are there other folks who are struggling too, but if you are in Christ, Christ is in you. And you don't have to do this in your own strength. but you're going to be much more successful more quickly if you stop believing the devil's lie that you just need to accept it. This is the way you are. God doesn't mind. We're all just a mess. That's not biblical Christianity. It is a distortion of the truth, which is Satan's specialty. Does God love sinners? Yes. Is God okay with sin? No. How seriously does God hate sin? Look at the cross. He became sin for us, and he bore the wrath of God. What the Romans did to Jesus was the worst that man could do, but it was not the full brunt of God's wrath. Jesus bore the wrath of God. In the garden, he prayed, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus bore the wrath for us. But now, the wrath has been borne. The punishment has been meted out. Justice has been served. We read in Romans, God did this so that he might be both the just and the justifier of those who believe. God didn't just say, oh, well, okay, I'll overlook it. No. Jesus bore the wrath that we deserve. God hates sin. And I would submit to you that one of the main reasons that God hates sin is because sin destroys lives. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys people. And God made us and loves us. So his wrath towards sin not only manifests his holiness, but it manifests his love. Because if God said, okay, I've been rethinking, and I've decided, really, who am I to judge? Sin is not really bad. It's just different than what I originally planned. Okay? But you guys got creative and decided to do this instead. It's okay. Okay. So adultery's okay? Well, you know, I mean, who am I to judge? Lying is okay? Sure. How about murder? Oh, that's hard, but yeah, I guess, why not? Rape? If God approves of sin, who's to say? So if somebody rapes your child, commits adultery with your wife, and murders you, you should be okay with it too. Well, no, I certainly am not. Sin destroys. Well, but some sins are smaller than others. Actually, yes. Some sins are smaller than others. Some cancers are smaller than others. Understand? But I don't want any. But the fact of the matter is, God never changed his standard. God never suspended the rules. God completely fulfilled his justice by pouring out his wrath on his beloved son. That is absolutely amazing. But it is precisely in light of that that we are now called to live a life of holiness. And enabled to do it by his divine power, which is now in us.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, we've seen already what God can do and has done. Then, another principle with regard to this. We see examples in Scripture where believing results in seeing. Believing results in seeing. What's the typical expression? Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And faith is being certain of what we can't see. It's not, as someone wrongly described it, believing what you know isn't true. That's not what faith is at all. Faith is believing what God says is true when you haven't seen it yet. Moses is described in the chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Moses is described as seeing him who is invisible. What? How can you say he's invisible and Moses is seeing him? Because that's what faith makes possible. One of my favorite Old Testament stories is Elisha in 2 Kings chapters 16 and 17. Elisha has a servant who comes and is all stirred up and says, "We're surrounded." And they were. And when the servant looks out and sees this enemy army, he's terrified. And Elisha says to him, "Don't be afraid. There are more on our side than there are of them." And the servant's like, "Have you taken leave of your senses? What are you talking about?" And Elisha prays, says, "Lord, open his eyes." And the Lord opens the servant's eyes, and there's the angel army. Because God's not intimidated by enemy armies. One of the privileges and joys of my life was getting to know Corrie ten Boom when I was a teenager. And Corrie had an expression that she used to use often, and that is, there's never a panic in heaven. Think about that. Never a panic in heaven. God doesn't say, "Oh, I didn't see that coming. I'm going to have to come up with a plan. Give me a few minutes. I can think of something." God knows the end from the beginning. God is always working his purpose out. So Elisha could see what was invisible. Corrie told the story about her friend who was known as Brother Andrew, who was sneaking Bibles into Eastern European countries where it was forbidden. Brother Andrew pulls up to a border and they're checking all the vehicles, and he had a bunch of Bibles hidden in various compartments in the car that was adapted for smuggling. And he thought, they're going to find these Bibles. And that's not going to be good. So he prayed about what he should do, and he was led by the Lord to do something very strange. He took a bunch of the Bibles out of their hiding spots and piled them on the seat next to him, the passenger seat. And he pulled up to the border, and the guard came over and flashed his light into the car, and the light went right over the Bibles. And the guard looked at him and motioned him on across the border. Wow. Well, I left out part of the story. God told him to put the Bibles on the seat, but he prayed a prayer. God, please blind them to anything you don't want them to see and cause them only to see what you want them to see. And that's what God did. You see the connection to Elisha and the angels? And the enemy army that's led into the city? God can open the eyes of the blind, and God can blind the eyes of the seeing. We're dealing with the creator of the universe who made everything out of nothing, who spoke the universe into being. How did that happen? Well, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Who is this sovereign creator? Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. That's who's living in you now. If you're a Christian, there's not a power shortage. I don't have an electric vehicle. I'm not opposed to it. If anyone wants to give me a Tesla, I will drive it with pleasure. But here's the thing. I know this because my son has an electric vehicle. You have to charge them. And he doesn't have a supercharger in his home. He's got regular household current. It takes a long time to charge his car. That's the way a lot of Christians live their life. Boy, I just hope I can make it to Sunday. Okay? I've got to try and hang in there. But I want you to be diligent about going to worship on Sunday, going to Bible study and all the rest. But do you understand, if He lives in you, you can talk to Him anytime, anywhere, about anything. He loves you. He's your Father. He wants you to trust Him. The Christian life, the real biblical Christian life, is life abundant. So, well, I'm struggling with this. Tell Him. I mean, I'm glad you share with each other. That's good. But God is not a long-distance call. You can talk to Him right now about anything that's troubling you. And you can say, I don't know how to solve this, Lord. I don't know how to overcome this. I don't know what to do about this. He's there for you. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? How much do you think He loves you? I grew up hearing the gospel, believing it was true, but honestly, not feeling particularly loved by God. And it wasn't because I didn't think He was nice to me. I just felt I was a disappointment. I was the youngest of four kids, and the brother who was 6 years older than me made me feel a little better about myself because he was the prodigal. And so, I knew I wasn't as bad as him. And then there was my sister who was 10 years older than me, and I was not a girl, and I was not a beauty queen like she was, or an artist like she was, or marvelous musician like she was. But that's okay, because she's a girl, so I don't compare myself to her. But my oldest brother, Bill was the golden child. 14 years older than I was, decided as a child that he wanted to become a doctor, wanted to become a Harvard-trained doctor. As things got closer and he got involved and went to Harvard Medical School, he decided he really wanted to be a Harvard professor. So he did. I mean, he set goal after goal after goal and achieved them. When you're 14 years further back down the trail, you kind of look at that and think, there is no way I'm ever going to measure up to that. You understand? Now my parents were very loving toward me and very sweet, but I felt kind of like a charity case. You know, I mean, they had Bill 4 years later, they had Joan 4 years later, they had John 4 years later. Mom miscarried, then she miscarried again, and then I'm born. And, you know, they said I was planned, but they never said by whom. And I just kind of felt like, well, they have to love me because they're my parents. And I felt like, you know, and God has to love me because he loves the whole world. But, you know, really, if this is a beauty contest, I'm not winning. If this is a goodness thing, I'm better than John, but I'm not as good as Bill. I was already saved. But the thing that really helped me believe the gospel was when I adopted those kids from Ukraine. And I loved them so much. And the oldest of the three would say, I am not a good son. And I would say, oh, no, son, I love you. I love you so much. I didn't love him because of what he did or did not do. I loved him because God put love in my heart. And as I saw his struggle to believe that he was really loved, it was like God was saying, do you get it now? Do you get it now? I'm still not worthy of God's love. But he loves me. He loves me so much that he sent his son to take my place, to take my punishment, and all of my sin was put on him so that now my Father sees me in terms of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when he says to me, hey, that thing you're struggling with, you're going to get past that. You don't have to still be struggling with that. I don't know what you're struggling with, but God does. And I want you to start expecting victory. Not because you're smarter than other people or better than other people, but because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And Satan is strong, and Satan is just crafty as can be. But he is no match for the risen Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.
That's pastorwood.org.